What's up, Crypt Nation? Bryce Paul and the Notorious Pizza Mind coming at you per usual from the sunny and 70 San Diego. All right, so if you haven't heard yet, Pete's and I just finished writing a 290-page book called Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. And we did this so that anyone anywhere in the world can learn about really how cryptocurrency and blockchain technology are putting the power back in the hands of the people. And really, we wrote this to equip the masses with the tools to profit from this revolution. So whether you invest in crypto or something else, the point is that you need to escape inflation, which is a hidden tax on your savings, by investing in your future. And we think that crypto is really the hottest market, which has the most upside potential. And we are so confident that Crypto Revolution is the perfect starting point, whether you're the crypto curious or the seasoned investor just looking to learn about the world's newest asset class. All right, the best part is we're giving it away literally for free, okay? For free. All we ask is you pay for shipping just to help offset the cost of the book. We're literally making $0 on this and are just doing it to give back to our amazing community of listeners. All right, so go to cryptorevolution.com today and get your free copy. All right, what is up, Crypt Nation, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation. It is your hosts, Bryce Paul and the Notorious Pizza Mind coming at you. Again, sunny San Diego, and we are joined by our friend Jesus Rodriguez from Into the Block, and he is in sunny Miami right now. So, Jesus, welcome to Crypto 101.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Jesus is with Into the Block, and Into the Block is this massive data processing and data providing company for crypto assets. And, you know, I personally first heard about you guys when you did the big coin market cap integration. And for those of you guys who are listening and you've never been to coinmarketcap.com, this is, you know, one of the biggest websites, one of the most heavily trafficked websites in the world. And it has all sorts of different data and pricing data and momentum and all sorts of different things all about crypto assets, all thousands of them. And Jesus, we're going to talk all about the different kinds of data that you guys provide and how you collect these data points and kind of the actionable insights that Into the Block can provide, not only to institutions, but to retail. Guys like me and Pizza Mind, who are, you know, trading the crypto markets, and all the good citizens here at Crypt Nation that are listening. So enough about that introduction. Let's move on to the important thing. And the important thing is you. Jesus, who are you? And what were you doing before you started Into the Block?
So I have I'm a computer scientist by background, and I have had a diverse background in the technology industry, from building cloud systems at Microsoft to building quantitative trading systems in Wall Street, to having a couple of successful exits as an entrepreneur, to becoming an active investor in areas such as artificial intelligence, which is really my background as a computer scientist, and crypto. And now, fortunately, I had the opportunity of blending those two industries, which are my two passions. Today, I think most software systems in the world are going to be rewritten with AI as a core component, and I think crypto is one of the most fascinating movements that we ever seen in the technology industry.
Yeah, what is it particularly about cryptocurrency that puts it on the same level of innovation and really the same level of newness and disruption that something like AI or machine learning, like what is it about crypto that really sparked your guys' interest?
Well, I mean, it's the first asset class that we see in my generation, probably the only one I'm going to see. So it's you have to be crazy to not be working in this space. But beyond that, from the computer science standpoint, I think crypto solves some of the biggest problems that previous generation of technology companies didn't have, which was internet scale money. And that, and the ability of building systems that are truly decentralized, I think we're in very early stages, but crypto is going to evolve both as a financial asset class and also as an infrastructure provider for the next new generation of technology companies.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of the things that really brought me into crypto, beyond just, you know, being able to have this transparent ledger of global transactions completely ordered and time synced, and, you know, instant payments to anybody around the world, all these really amazing use cases and, you know, the value propositions that cryptocurrencies bring. The thing that really sold me was the fact that, like you said, to your point, this is the brand new asset class. The world has never witnessed, or I should say our generation hasn't witnessed the birth of a new asset class. Really, I mean, arguably since options were invented in, you know, the late 60s and early 70s, you know, we've never had a new asset class. So that's what got me
excited.
And even
that was a derivative effect based on existing asset classes. So just a brand new asset class, you can trace it back way further than that.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that. The fact that, you know, a derivative in itself is not necessarily a new asset class. It's just, you know, trading different things on top of an asset class. So what would you say before that would be like a bond maybe was the most recent asset class, or I guess a stock is probably more
recent. Yeah, equities are definitely younger asset class. Debt is really really old from
it's old as
from the
it's
Renaissance.
Old,
time
it's as old
and
as time itself.
Is the same. Yeah.
So what are we trying to figure out with all these insights and data analysis that you're using? What are you guys digging through the data to look for?
Yeah, so if you think about it, every new asset class or variation of an asset class in history have brought new levels of intelligence. So something like currencies brought us intelligence based on 24/7 markets. Bonds are really based on supply and demands. Equities have its unique characteristics, and so derivative. Crypto is a brand new asset class. In order to succeed as an asset class, it's going to require intelligence that is very tailored to the space, that is very unique to crypto, and is probably not the same type of intelligence that you use when you analyze commodities or derivatives or stocks and bonds. And considering also that crypto is a completely 100% digital asset class, the level of information and that crypto assets generate is a multiple bigger than any other asset class in history. So despite being a 10-year-old asset class, crypto might be one of the richest data from the data perspective, one of the richest asset classes in history. So considering that, and considering that we're living in the golden era of data science and machine learning and AI and all these ideas that have been around from the 1970s, but were not possible to implement, the level of intelligence that you can extract in order to give retail investors or institutional investors better market signals in order for them to make better decisions, the opportunities are tremendous, and so are the challenges. So we're definitely fascinated by both.
So what kind of insights are you able to put together and compile from the data that you're pulling off the blockchains right now?
Let me clarify that. So Into the Block as a platform is not solely focused on blockchain data. Definitely, we put a ton of emphasis on that because the fact that the behavior of investors in crypto assets is partially recorded in public ledgers is a unique differentiator that doesn't exist in other asset classes. So we do put a ton of emphasis in collecting blockchain information, but we also collect data feeds from exchanges, derivative, alternative data sets like Twitter, Google, LinkedIn, Telegram, GitHub, market data from capital markets. And we put all that together. And on top of that, we create different machine learning statistical models and tell them, go to work and tell me, what do you find? Putting all that together, they're fascinating things that you can do in crypto that you cannot do in any other asset class. For instance, understanding the behavior of individual investors. It's impossible to understand what are the groups of investors that are probably realizing gains or losses in something like an Apple or Facebook stock, because you don't have access to the entire to all the orders and the positions. But in crypto, you have, by mining the blockchain, you do have access to at least a relevant portion of those positions, so you can understand things of are people making money or losing money with this specific asset. You can try to predict a specific movements, coins that haven't moved in a long time, that when they suddenly start to move, is that the precursor of a price movement? You can understand money flows in exchanges, are money flowing into or out of exchanges, and all sorts of things that are impossible to do in any other asset classes unless you own an entire exchange or something like that.
Fascinating. So you mentioned a couple terms that maybe the Crypto 101 audience isn't familiar with, and I'd just like you to break down the term artificial intelligence in relation to how you use it, and then also break down the term machine learning in relation to how you you said it goes through and it learns something from your data.
Yes. So the one of my there is a joke in the industry that said that if you're fundraising for your company, you should use the term artificial intelligence because it's sexy for investors. If you're hiring engineers, you use the term machine learning because that's what they what you sell them that they're going to do. But what they ultimately do are things like basic statistics and linear regression models, which is another way to say artificial intelligence is a superset of machine learning. Artificial intelligence is all about trying to recreate human cognitive skills, trying to create systems that are able to think and learn and recreate the aspects of humans' intelligence, such as common sense and humor and abstraction and all sorts of things that we don't even from the neuroscience standpoint, we don't even understand very well. Machine learning is sort of the practical application of it. And conceptually speaking, machine learning is our systems that are able to learn. Instead of coding something like a mobile application that the behavior of the app is embedded in the code, machine learning systems are constantly learning and improving. So those are the sort of, you can think about as machine learning being sort of the practical form of AI that we have today, and maybe in the future there will be others. And there is even a subset of machine learning that is very popular these days called deep learning that is focused on a very specific type of machine learning known as deep neural networks. And this is what has made possible some of the top systems that we're seeing, the AI applications that we're seeing with things like Siri or Alexa or self-driving vehicles and things like that, are that very specific branch of machine learning known as deep learning. So for instance, in the case of Into the Block, a lot of our signals get better every week or so as they learn more, and we retrain those algorithms with the data and the mistakes we make. And this is the signals that predict the market momentum or things like that are getting more efficient over time because they're constantly learning from the market behavior and the correct predictions and the incorrect predictions as well.
So how far away do you think we are from just having a magical little phone app that generates wealth for us based on all kinds of signals and data sets, and it just makes all the trading decisions for us, and we just simply watch the number tick up?
Oh, I have a horrible track record on making predictions like that, so I'm going to stay away from it. But what it is true is that the financial ecosystem in general has been gravitating more towards this type of systems, and money has been shifting from the traditional forms of finance into AI-driven finance. So, for instance, the amount of money of funds that is being managed by discretionary money managers like hedge funds is shrinking, and a lot of that money is flowing into quantitative trading funds that use algorithmic trading. That's one example. In passive investment, the same is happening from traditional money shifting from traditional asset managers to things like robo-advisors, like Wealthfront and Betterment. You have insurance companies that are like financial insurance companies that are using AI to try to find the right policies and protections for your positions. And the entire space is gravitating towards those models. So crypto being a digital only asset class, is you can make the prediction that this form of intelligent services, where it is in the form of active trading or passive robo-advising or insurance or all sorts of things, are going to be driven by AI, and there is going to, in the long term, that is, and the place for the traditional fundamental discretionary managers is going to be less and less relevant.
Do you have a friend who's interested in getting into cryptocurrency, but they don't know where to start building their portfolio? Well, we have the answer. It's called CopyTrader by eToro. With CopyTrader, you can automatically copy every trade of eToro's top crypto traders, just like myself or Bryce or Kevin, at the exact price point and in real time. No need to study up on markets or develop your own strategies. Simply just sign up and copy our trades. Any profits that we make, you do too. Proportional to your investment, of course. With eToro, you get access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies with transparent trading fees all in one easy-to-use app. Copy the smart money with eToro. Join now at etoro.com/crypto101. Thank you.
That's really amazing. And you're bringing up something that I hadn't really given much thought to. And my next question was going to be, you know, who is into the block four? Is it for retail guys or is it for institutional asset managers? But you brought up a third class of people, and this is insurance. And think about, you know, how insurance companies who are issuing policies to protect, you know, the Coinbases or the BitGos of the world. And they need, you know, deep, deep.
Hey guys, TiVo here to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock, a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell all in one. That's right, 3-in-1 for triple the security. It's easy to install. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It gives you keyless entry, so no more fumbling your keys when you have your hands full coming back from the grocery store. No more worry about the kids losing a house key. No more worry about a guest losing the house key or forgetting the passcode on your door. And for Airbnbers, it's a no-brainer as you can change the passcode at will between renters. It has available fingerprint recognition, and it has AI self-learning chip, so the more you use it, the more accurate it's going to be. You will have no anxiety with the battery charging. It is a rechargeable battery, and it lasts around 4 months, but don't worry, when it's low, it'll give you plenty of weeks' notice, and also, it always comes with a physical key as a backup. There's no monthly fee. Unlike other brands that charge you a monthly fee to get your backup recordings, they're always recorded locally and you will always have access. Customer support for the Eufy Video Lock is 24/7, so you don't have to worry about any issues you have, and it comes with an 18-month warranty. What I love about this product is it's truly all-in-one with the 3-in-1. You don't have to go out and buy multiple parts. It's all in this package with the Eufy Video Lock. So if you're interested in learning more, go on Amazon and search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock. Again, that's EUFY Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock. Get complete control over your front door.
Into the blockchain analytics to kind of understand where their risk exposure lies. And so to that question, I'll add, so who is into the block four? It's for retail, traditional insurance companies, and who else? And how do you see that customer base growing as the asset class starts to grow?
So our mission as a company is to try to democratize the foundation for market intelligence in the crypto space. Trying to deep dive into that concept For us today, that's partially retail. We want to make as much intelligence available to the average guy. Those models that are incredibly sophisticated underneath, we want to find, we work really hard to find representations of it that a normal retail investor can understand. So we don't feel that crypto was born out of frustration with the traditional finance systems, out of trying to decentralize the infrastructure. So just looking at those ethos, we don't feel that intelligence should be a privilege of the institutions with a lot of capital. We think that it should be available to anybody. At the same token, we try to also serve provide sophisticated models that bring value to institutions, to quant funds, to all sorts of other companies that are starting in the space. But so even at the product level, we have a section that is very focused on the retail audience, and that's part of what you have seen in CoinMarketCap, CoinGecko, Bitcoinist, and CryptoSlate, and others, and another portion that is very very focused on your researcher, trader, the person that really understands the market and wants to formulate thesis. But in both cases, we're just trying to come up with this, take all these pieces of data that are hard to get and hard to clean up and run all these complex statistical and machine learning models and make it available to everyone. So the more intelligence we can get into this space, we think that's going to help crypto to evolve in a healthier way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about really complex models. You've got a company like Google that will never reveal what their search engine actually looks for or how it ranks things. And people have no idea what to do. It's just this huge guessing game. And as soon as people think they have it figured out, the rug gets swept out from under them. But their entire businesses rely on where they rank in a search engine. And it just seems like a really unfair game. But you guys are giving this information away for free to so many people, and it really helps the entire world take a step forward to where, you know, these closed systems like Google and Microsoft are being forced to participate in open source and share some of these things. So it's amazing that you guys are doing this.
And in financial, it's even worse, right? Because it's been so expensive in traditional capital markets get access to intelligence that has been a benefit of the big funds that can afford hiring top data scientists and competing and buying expensive data sets and all that. But the blockchain gave us certain level of transparency that is globally available and to anyone who has the ability to mine it. So now we think that we should build on that and extrapolate intelligence from those data sets and make that available to everyone as well.
So now that the data is available, it can still be really confusing for the average consumer who's not used to it. You know, we look at, you know, maybe volume and price and that's it. So of the insights that you're providing, which one do you think is most helpful for everybody and how should it be interpreted? Such as, you know, when you see this insight look like this, what should we do? I mean, it's a very, very basic, where's the starting point?
We provide a very broad portfolio. Today it's over 50 signals and it's growing very fast. So just next week, we're going to open an entire chapter on derivative and futures and this complex financial instruments. So there are many signals that I can think of that could be interesting. So let me give you a couple of examples. So one signal that has become extremely popular, it's really a combination of multiple, but it's this family that we call the in and out of the money. We borrow some nomenclature from options trading. But essentially, these models try to understand who is making money and who is losing money in a given crypto asset. And that's a concept that anybody can relate to, regardless of your level of expertise. Now, I cannot tell you who is making money or losing money in an Apple stock, but I can, with certain level of statistical accuracy in a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. So the reason that's important is because if you're going to place a trade, and I can tell you that if the price of Bitcoin goes up, there is a number of addresses, a number of investors that have been losing money that they might become active, that gives you a better understanding of who your counterparty on that trade will be. Or a more technical way to think about that, it gives you more objective ways to think about the famous concept of support and resistance in trading. What are going to be the next barriers if the price goes up or down? Typically, in technical analysis, we try to figure that out by just using price and volume. Here, you can actually see individual positions. I can tell you that 600,000 people bought Bitcoin between X price and X price. So if Bitcoin moves within that range, a portion of that volume is going to be in place. So that's one example. Another example might be large transactions that are disproportionately large compared to your average trade. That could be a signal of money going into an exchange. That could be a precursor to a large position or a large sales order. Another concept, signal that people might relate to is new money coming in. This is a signal that we call traders. So addresses that trade very actively within a short period of time. Every single price rally that we have seen in the last few years has a correlation with new money coming in and people are actively trading. So if you pay attention to that indicator, it makes sense, right? The price of something goes up, people get excited, create new accounts in Coinbase or something, and start buying. So if you pay attention to those indicators, those are things that people can't relate to. It's very difficult to calculate. It's very difficult to curate that data and to run those models that extract that intelligence. But the end result is something that a normal retail investor can't relate to.
I love both of those. One thing that you noted, we do a lot of technical analysis here. We've got a group. It's called the Crypto 101 Insiders. If you go to crypto101insider.com, you can find out. We post a lot of technical analysis, and we do all sorts of different support and resistance studies. And I'm going to start incorporating some usage of your indicators as well into my analysis. But I liked what you said about, you know, if you could see that a certain class of investors, a certain group of people bought, 600,000 people bought Bitcoin at $14,000. When price gets back to that level, you know that you're going to have $600,000 of underwater investors who are going to be looking to sell and get out at break even. Is that kind of what you meant?
At least a portion of it, right? Like it's so you can get an idea of what volume is going to be. At the same token, for instance, you're looking at exchange order books all the time, and you're seeing bid and ask prices and all that. We can tell you things like, okay, how many Bitcoins or how much ETH is being held at each one of those exchanges? So you have an idea if the order books are completely crazy or they have some correlation with what the exchange has in reserve. Those type of things any investor can understand, and they're extremely hard to put together. But again, the final materialization of it is relatable. I mean, a normal investor should be able to take advantage of it.
100%. Yeah, that's great. And I mean, it's always such a hassle to go look manually through all the different order books to see what the bid and ask depth is. But with a system like yours, it aggregates everything into one place and gives you a nice graphical user interface. So I'm really excited about all the stuff that you guys are building. And again, if anybody out there is listening and is kind of their curiosity is piqued by all this stuff, yeah, go to crypto101insider.com and figure out, you sign up and you learn about all this kind of stuff. But Jesus, I kind of want to, flip the narrative here from into the block and data, but more onto you. So I'm kind of curious, what is something you know through all your experiences in life that, most people don't? I mean, you got a pretty interesting background as a computer scientist. What's like a, you know, what's an important realization that you've kind of come to that has really served you to being a successful businessman?
So things that I learned by experience, I believe that these days I split my time working between AI and crypto. And it's because I truly believe that your professional career is extremely short to waste it working on things that are not relevant. So if you have the opportunity of selecting relevant challenges that will keep you, that will be intellectually fascinating, and that you can think that could have an impact, even if it's minor, on a specific industry, that's the best way to spend your professional career. And also, I believe in this type of industry, resiliency and coming back from failures and tackling big problems that you know you have a high likelihood of failing and being able to recover from that is super important. Like some of the most impressive entrepreneurs that I have met throughout my career, when you ask them for advice about their success, a lot of it could be boiled down to a single phrase of, I didn't give up. I just stuck with it through difficult times until it clicked.
Yeah, persistence is extremely powerful. And that is a great, great answer to that question. We've got just a few more before we're going to let you go. And these are our classic questions that we ask everyone, because we get a different answer every time. So to begin, who's one person that you admire in the crypto space that inspires you to do what you do?
Crypto is, there is so much talent in it, particularly because a lot of the early builders come from a very deep technical background. Picking one person is really hard. You probably got this answer before. If I need to select one, I think Vitalik Buterin has been incredibly influential in the evolution of this industry. I mean, this space, this market wouldn't be the same without Ethereum and everything that it enabled, and so many companies and so many competitors that it inspired to go and try to build the infrastructure of the decentralized internet. So I think his contributions are definitely on another level.
Yeah, we completely agree. And that is the number one answer. People really, really admire Vitalik for all he's contributed. And we can only sit back and wait to see what amazing things he has next. I mean, he's still really, really young. One day he's going to leave Ethereum for his next great idea. Just imagine what that could possibly be. Who knows? Now, if this is the first podcast someone getting into the space heard, what would you want them to know?
Crypto is a new asset class that has the potential of redefining finance as we know it. So learn more about it and get involved somehow.
Great answer. And then the last one we have for you is, what is one company besides Into the Block that you think is going to have the greatest impact in the crypto space?
China or Facebook. Yeah. I think the potential of China opening its doors to crypto, or Facebook figuring out something like Libra, and who said Facebook? So who, the Facebooks of the world, right? Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple. I think the impact that could have is some order of magnitude larger than anything we have today.
Yeah, being able to have, you know, at least, you know, a framework for regulation in China so that companies can get started. I mean, we saw President Xi with his announcements in October about every you know, Chinese company needs to have a blockchain plan. So I completely agree, them getting started. And then, you know, Facebook is the biggest, you know, quote unquote nation in the world. They've got a bigger population of users than any citizenry from any, you know, sovereign state. So those are two amazing answers, and really couldn't agree more. And I actually have one last question for you. Back to Into the Block. I noticed there's not every coin available on
on Into the Block. So I'm just curious about, you know, what your guys' selection process is to get coins up there. And then one of our favorite coins here at Crypt Nation is Tezos. So we'd love to know when we could get some data around that.
So it's a combination. We host over 700 assets today that we support, about 13 tier one blockchains, and we try to add one blockchain every month or so. There is a lot of data accuracy, checkpoints and validations that we need to do. So it's what's a criteria is a combination of what the market is demanding plus or technical ability to deliver that. Quickly, Tezos is in our roadmap for next quarter. So it's typically every month or so you see a new asset, which recently incorporated the Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SB as well. And now we're working on adding the Bitcoin Cash tokens, and we have some blockchains that we're starting to work through in this month, next month, and Q2.
Brilliant. Jesus, thank you so much for your time today. Guys, if you guys thought this was interesting, and if you thought that you know, you could really use this data, go to intotheblock.com and you could sign up for a 7-day free trial, no credit card required. I know I did. I just signed up for the trial and I'm already getting a ton of use out of it. So you could guarantee that I'm going to be putting in my credit card information and getting this data that has historically been reserved for hedge funds. And so now, thanks to Jesus and his team, you guys can get access to this. So Jesus, thanks for joining us and sharing us about your platform.
Thank you very much for having me, guys, and continue the great work with the podcast.